The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday as we continue our descent in the letter to the church at Philippi. Remember our goal, it's to know the letter better. And we must continually be aware that this is an epistle of encouragement. First up, being persuaded, being convinced is an essential part of our faith, especially when it has to do with the work of God in our lives. Next, we examine how long this journey of being molded into the image of Jesus Christ is going to last. Here's a hint. Long time. And finally, Christians need to be reminded that some feelings are a normal part of our faith, but some feelings are better to respond to than others.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Not that much today. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. How much more? A lot. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. So you can also call in at 972-445-0770, where we have Terrific T ready to take the phone, and she will not hurt you. And if you do call in, the phone will not explode. So these are good things to know, right?
Very good things.
I mean, that's so important.
I will not.
Yeah. I mean, she will not hurt you. The phone will not explode. That's a good thing. So not as many pop questions today, folks. If you got like a pop question thing, you probably want to email or whatever, because we've got expository and I've got so much stuff to do. But praise reports are always welcome. Prayer requests are always welcome, and especially trivia. Here's our first trivia question for the day. Get ready. In 1 Corinthians, what is the last enemy to be destroyed? In 1 Corinthians, what is the last enemy to be destroyed? If you know that answer, 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation in general, primarily because it's not professional radio, and I think you've figured that out by now. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience, so buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple things to start off with right out of the gate. Don't forget our DNA. What is DNA? It's what you're made of. It's your building blocks. Well, what is the DNA for the Christian? Draw closer to the Lord. 1. 2. Always be ready. 3. Never. Oops. Sorry. N. Yeah, I messed it up already. I'm so good. It's professional radio, really. Okay. D. Draw closer to the Lord and never be ashamed. A. Always be ready. See, I even got that. Instead of saying DNA, I was spelling Dan. I don't know. What is wrong with me, huh?
It's Thursday.
Is that what it is?
It's Thursday.
I was doing one of my reports for my PhD class. Let me just say this real fast. This is an easier report, so I dropped in an image. I'm feeling like an artist today because I found an image. It looked really good. It's like, that's nicer than anything I think I've ever done, and I didn't even need to. One of those funny things. All right, so draw closer to the Lord. D, N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. That's what the building blocks are for a Christian, okay? So you need to keep that in mind. Let's take a moment before we dive into the letter to the church at Philippi with one of my favorite passages, starting off with Philippians 1:6. But first, let's make sure we understand that growing in our knowledge is a good thing. And in this case, it's going to be Yiddish knowledge as we get ready for our Yiddish dictionary.
Hava, nagila, hava. Hava, nagila, hava.
We're going to work on the looping part.
Yeah, we're going to work on that.
Okay, not a problem.
Under construction.
All right, here you go. Ready? Here's your Yiddish word for the day. Everybody's got this Yiddish word for the day. So I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. You probably will, and I'll bring it up. This word is called mensch. Mensch. So for those that are familiar with Shark Tank, there was the mensch on a bench toy. And a mensch, it's possible that you are already a little bit familiar with this Yiddish word mensch. It is a Hanukkah product. To call someone a mensch is to call them an honorable or admirable person. And using the word to refer to somewhere, therefore, is considered to be someone, therefore, is considered to be a huge, huge compliment. Over there, that guy, he's a mensch. That's great.
My old band director, his last name was Mensch.
What? Really?
Yeah. Coincidence. When you said it, I was like, oh, wow.
Mitch. That guy had to walk into a temple and just point to himself. Anyhow, that's Mitch. So that's our opener. And now Mensch. Remember Mensch on a bench? That's classic. Now let's get ready for our expository teaching.
Wow. 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 All I can say is wow. 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 All I can say is wow.
Now, there's no particular reason we use that sound other than I like Steve Martin. So if you don't like him, it's like, I can't help you. I'm sorry. I mean, there's just too many, you know. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Jerk when the guy was shooting with the sniper and he goes, did you ever see that movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you have
seen,
to see it.
I've seen like the little parts of it.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And the cans started popping off when the sniper was shooting. He goes, wow, these cans are defective. That's just... That's just so funny. All right, let's start off with the text. We'll actually back it up a little, and then I'll get into it. It says this, I thank my God. This is verse 3. Every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray for you with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ. Let's talk about this concept of being confident. This particular being confident is pitho. Typically, pithos is going to be the word for faith in the Greek. This is pitho, a little different. And what it really means or what it has to do with is being persuaded or convinced. And you can see how closely that's associated to the word faith. So it's not very difficult to kind of make that connection and see how different interpreters might come to that word. But here's what Paul is saying under the verbal plenary, and that's where the Holy Spirit leads the person to write what they're writing but does not remove their personality from the writing. Under the verbal plenary process with the Holy Spirit, these people who authored what God wanted to communicate, they wrote this, being confident of this, of their partnership, of their commitment to Paul, of their love with Paul, of Paul's love for them. He states a word of, what's the letter about? Encouragement. He states a word of encouragement, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on. And so it's the nicest, it's not even a nice way, I mean, it's truth, but it's a really pleasant way to say, look, this work that God is doing in you, this work, by the way, that word work is a perfect present tense and means activity. So this activity that God is doing in you, this activity that he has started, he is going to continue and it is going to get completed. And by the way, it is important for you to understand that it is a good work. If God wanted to do something in you that brought about horrible things, it would be contrary to his character. So when God is working in you, he's working according to his character. And in his character, even though there's the righteous, holy part of it, because of Jesus Christ, we have that communion, that relationship. So in your case, because you're a believer, the work in you is a good work. It's good for you. It's his goodness being poured into you. And I love this one part that a lot of people will often miss in the writing. It says, he will carry it, that he who began a good work, right, in you. Okay? Very, very important. will carry on to completion until the day of Christ. He's working in you. You know what? He's not just working on your circumstance. And I appreciate that God works on my circumstance or has my circumstances covered. I appreciate that. It gives me some comfort, gives me joy. But he's also working in me. Because all the things in my life, if I'm selfish, I just want them all to work to my benefit, which is kind of normal for humans, and all work out for my favor and da, 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 da. But in the meantime, what God's promise is that I will not stop working inside of you. See, we want him to work. We want six numbers plus a pick. We want that. God's like, I want you to look like Jesus. Okay, between those two arguments, God's going to win. God's going to get his way. You're not going to change the way that God does things. To God, it is more important that you reflect Jesus Christ than you win the lotto. I know in your mind you're thinking, well, I can win the lotto and then become a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. I got it. But the bigger problem is in the Old Testament, it talks probably about 60-plus times about being blessed and forgetting God. And that's a big concern, especially if you want to go into the book of Hosea and really read chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. You're going to find out God's like, that's not going to happen. I can't do that because you'll just forget me. And it's like, no, the Lord's got to be. So the Lord has everything coordinated in just such a way, and he's working in you. And the commitment, the promise, the encouragement is he's never going to stop. It's as though you have somebody who is an author. And you ever heard that phrase, they're in the zone? And they're in the zone. So it's like an author, I'll say this carefully, just whipping out a book because he's got to finish it. Okay, that's God in you working in your life. Got to finish it. Just got to get it done. Started it, got to get it done. God's not into quitting. If he was into quitting, right as soon as Adam and Eve blew it, he'd go, that's it, wipe them out, start somewhere else. Let's try an entirely different being, this one that has 16 ears. I mean, we don't know. But my point is to tell you that when God gets it rolling and he's rolling in your life, never stops until it's done. You don't finish. Until he doesn't quit until he's finished. He doesn't give up. It's like, no way. That's what's awesome about God. You and I, I quit. God's like, yes, this will be accomplished before the earth will be removed. I will finish this. Like, okay, Lord. All right, here's the question, trivia question. 1 Corinthians, what is the last enemy to be destroyed? The answer is death is the last enemy to be destroyed. Yay. That's good. We don't like death. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, as opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored, impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation
ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I got to say a couple of things before we get into the trivia and the website and so on and so forth. So when you hear me say the main purpose for man's creation is to fellowship with God, I'm not excluding that God is to be glorified. So Isaiah 43:7, that we were created for the purpose of bringing glory to God. I'm not excluding that. I'm talking about from man's point of view, what is our, what is the whole point of this whole process? And I'll tell you something that's amazing. So I'm doing in my PhD studies, a little bit of a word study for an assignment on the word breathe. So you know where it says that God breathed the breath, his breath, into Adam, and he became a living being. So I'm not doing the breathe, B-R-E-A-T-H-E, which is the verb, but I'm doing breath. And the breath is B-R-E-A-T-H, the thing that God spoke into Adam. Here's something that will blow your mind. Get ready for it. You've probably haven't heard this before. The single breath from God that went into Adam is the sustaining life force that's in every human being that's ever been created. One breath. One breath from God has generated all people. Now how powerful do you think he is? Okay, that's a lot different, Dave. Yeah. Is that amazing? I mean, Eve came from the rib. Got it. But everybody from that point backwards, right? Got that? All right. All right. What's that hum? Is there a hum there? Did you have? There's a little hummer? I heard a little hummer. Okay. That could have been me. All right. Let's finish into our next thing. Isn't that an amazing thought? An amazing thought that God breathes into Adam, and that same sustaining breath has maintained all of mankind all the way through. Wow. So he breathed the breath. It's like, so I'm doing it on the word breath. He told me to keep it to 600 words. My intro paragraph is 600 words. It's really, I'm having a hard time with that. All right, don't forget, you can text 214-210-8483. I'm not trying to be a smarty pants. I just get excited about stuff like this. 214-210-8483, our call number, what is our call number? 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. In what book of the Bible do you find the words, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth"? See, this gets you going. Like, whoa, yeah, where's that? Just don't use Google. That's the only thing we ask people. It's like, you don't need to use Google. Look it up. If you can't look it up, Old Testament is your only hint. Poetry is your other hint. There you go. You'll figure it out there. Website, hemustincrease.org. Let's play our song for hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so I like that. I think in the beginning we just need to have it a little slower. Did you already slow that down in that beginning part?
Yeah, I tried fixing the problems at the beginning, but I don't know. It was not working with me, so okay. I'm going to keep tweaking it.
All right, you keep tweaking it. You let me know. Here's the bottom line on the website. That's the place to give. Now, there's a lot of things you can get out of the website. I don't think I have a map to the eternal door that walks in and out of time. I think I lost that map. But I do have an opportunity for people to give and invest in the kingdom of God and keep this show going. So there, that's as clear as you can get. I can't say it any clearer than that. Go to the website, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. Again, the question was quite simply, what book of the Bible do you find? Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Here's a hint. Solomon wrote it. That's a nice hint, by the way. You guys should be like, oh, that's a good one. All right, let's cover a little history, and then we'll get back into the text. Here we are on this day. Today is, I've never heard of this before. You got to tell me if you've heard of this. I've never heard of this. Gorgeous Grandma Day. I've never heard of Gorgeous Grandma Day. Now, my wife is a grandma and is gorgeous, but I've never heard of the day. It's also Hot Enough For You Day.
That isn't a true statement.
Yeah, that's true. And if you lived in Phoenix, right, you'd be like, hey, every day. I lived there for a while. Peanut Butter and Chocolate Day. I like that. And kind of Reese's connection. And then it's also, and don't get upset for those of you that people get upset when I do stuff like this. Stop getting upset. It's Vanilla Ice Cream Day, but primarily because the ice cream cone was invented on this day. But it's also Yada 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 Day. Made more popular by the Seinfeld episode in 97. Yada 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 means so on and so on and so forth. I've preached and I've heard many a sermons that were yada, yada, yada. Just yep, yep, yep. Yada, yada. Yada. Okay. Just keep in mind, Jesus, everything you wanted to say within 35 minutes on the Sermon on the Mount. That's all you got to know. Just remember that. 35 minutes to read it. 35, probably experience was longer, but 35 minutes. That sermon's the most famous sermon ever. There. On this day in 1827, the first United States public swimming pool opened up. It was in Boston, Massachusetts. 1829, the typewriter was invented. Here's the problem with that. I think we said that before, so I'm kind of iffy on the typewriter. This I thought was classic, so I had to tell you. 1886, on this day, the first person to survive jumping off the Brooklyn Bridge. Steve Brody jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge at the height of 135 feet, same as about a 14-story building, landed feet first in the East River. According to one account, the liquor dealer offered to back a saloon for Brody if he made the jump. He made the jump and also went on to fame in vaudeville musicals. not a chance. jump off a bridge. Not that one. If it's about a foot and a half high, I have to go to Men in Tights from Mel Brooks, where the guy had there was a bridge and it was like a foot and a half off the creek. That's what I'd have to do, like a foot and a half. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm not big on jumping.
Me neither. I don't even like roller coasters.
You know,
you want me to jump off a bridge?
Noelle used to love roller coasters. Now she's older, and we went on a twisty thing. Psh, that's gone at Disneyland. That's over. Those days are over. All right, let me finish this up. This is a really important point, and I don't want you to lose this. And then the next segment's going to kind of blow your mind. All right, so we talked about the confident of he who began a good work, and you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Christ. And here's one of the things that I want you to understand. This is until the day of Christ. That means that until Jesus comes back corporately, or unless he comes back individually. And a lot of people forget this, but the day of the Lord is a monumentous day that's going to be really great for some, really terrible for others, right? I'm not talking about your eschatology. I'm talking about the overall day of the Lord. But every individual has a day of the Lord if you perish or die in this flesh before there is the calling of the elected. So everybody has going to face. And what that essentially says is God will continue to work on you until you die or until he calls everybody in. That's a long time, right? Why that's important is because this disrupts the on-the-shelf theory that many Christians have used. It shows that it is an invalid theory, and that is, I've done a lot for the kingdom, I've done my stuff for God, I'm done, I can stop now, I don't have to do anything else. That is nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere. God always has more steps. And before you get all, you know, defensive about it, Moses was 80 years old before he started the right ministry, the last third of his life. He lived to be 120. In the age 40, he went into ministry early, kind of blew things apart. Somebody died. God kicked him on the backside of a desert. God kept him there for 40 years before he did anything else, brought him back. When he was 80, the last third of his life was ministry. Here's my point in bringing that up. Don't tell me you're too old. Don't say God can't. What are you trying to tell me? That the Holy Spirit didn't touch those bones in Ezekiel and they didn't raise? So don't give me the you're too old. Now, I know there's some people, and I do want you to hear this. There's some people that have labored in the kingdom, and you think, well, I haven't really seen a lot from it. And it kind of gets discouraging. So let me give you a little association. In Isaiah 49:4, Isaiah said, "But I have said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God." In other words, even in Isaiah's writings, he's communicating, look, even though you don't get to see the full fruit of labor here and now, the Lord will never forget what you do and will continue to reward you and will reward you in eternity the way that he wants to. But there is nowhere in there where God said, you're done. It's just not there. It's just like, I'm done. I quit. See that whole thing there? And that's contrary even to the passage, being confident of this one thing, that he who begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. So until you're called individually or there's a collective call, you're still on the field. There is no sideline. And it could be his return that happens, or it could be his return for you individually. But you're not done until the Lord says, come home. So for those that are like, yeah, but I don't know what I can do, ask, and God will show you. Do you think that's a prayer that's within the framework of his will that he's going to respond to? Yes. And that's an important element for you and I to grasp. You're not done until the Lord says, home. Until then, you're still a stranger, a foreigner, and an alien. You understand? And be about your Father's business until the mission has been called. And that will be at his return. Okay? All right. All right. In what book of the Bible do we find the words, remember the Creator in the days of your earth, days of your youth?
Youth.
It's close. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 is where that is located. For those that texted in, good job. Excellent job in those answers. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, he reached down.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So. But, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, you can reach out to the show. You can call 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. Next trivia question, a little tougher. A little tougher. You know, we're trying to do that little increase, kind of like a step-in kind of thing, okay? When blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, he threw something away. What was it? When blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, he threw something away. What was it that blind Bartimaeus threw away? 214-210-8483 is the text. 972-445-0770 is the phone number. Our website, hemustincrease.org. Let's play it. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Now, I haven't decided whether I'm keeping on YouTube, so I'm kind of going through this thing where I'm thinking if I want to take a break from Facebook and I want to take a break from YouTube, because social media right now is just like, bleh. It's kind of like television half the time, right? It's like, bleh.
It's depressing.
It is depressing. I mean, it's one thing if you want to watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show or something, or, you know, anything like that, or Green Acres. You know, that's different. Green Acres is the place for me. Oh, come on. That's so fantastic. How great is that? It's so funny. It's so dumb. And who doesn't love Mr. Haney? Mr. Haney has got something to sell. Yeah. Whatever that guy's selling, it's a twofer. Two for one. That's all I can say. All right. Let's get into the text so you can know. Let me say hi to my good friend Noah. Okay. Noah, hey Noah, send me real quickly in a text what your podcast is so I can mention it again. I believe it's Perched Air Radio. It's really close to that. Tell me what it is. Okay. Here we go on Philippians chapter 1. This is verse 7 and 8. I'm going to teach something that's oh so contraire in the Christian church. Here we go. Verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Let me just point this out. It's very important because people are really, really, really strange about this. Really strange. For some reason, because we operate in the main principle of faith, we have detached from the concept of feelings. And anytime you hear the word feelings and you're in a stricter Pentecostal or a stricter Baptist church, you have, there's a negativeness to feelings. Let me explain something to you so that it doesn't get too weird for you. Because people will say as they're about their walk, well, I felt like the Lord was doing this, or I felt like the Lord, people go, well, you don't live by your feelings. You got to live by faith. And it's like,
it is faith and truth that lead you, but you don't disown your feelings. It's not like you're in there and you're going, I have this emotional response to this experience I'm having in worship, but I now disown it because I am a robot. Call me Data. I am Data. It's like, what is wrong with you people? And I'm not saying that to you guys. I'm saying that to them. My whole point in that is that feelings are fine. God created them. There's nothing wrong with them. The problem is that some feelings are better than other feelings. And you're thinking, well, how can that be? Well, because the feeling of jealousy and anger lead to sinfulness. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, yet feelings of joy result in celebration and praise to God. So which one's better? Trying to take your wrath out on people or thanking God? Okay. I mean, there's not a rocket science in that. Romans 12:15, by the way, says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Those are very emotional, as far as I can tell. And Paul says to them, it's right for me to feel this way about you guys. Paul had this one awesome thing going on that I thought was just stellar. He really, watch this, he really cared about how other people were doing. He was fine. He's going to heaven. Remember, I'll depart and be with Christ. That's far better. He knew where he was going. He was done. But he was concerned about how other people were doing, where they were at. You know what I'm saying? It's like incredible if you think about it. Incredible. He, in his very own way, is trying to tell you and I, hey, have feelings for one another and care about one another. And what happens, and we get into it in this letter, by the way, is we are so caught in our universe that we don't care about anybody else's universe. And it's like, that's exactly what God wants us to stay away from. He wants you and I to stay away from, it's my universe. All I care about is what's going on in here. Hey, you know the person next to you, they have a universe. And the person next to you, they have a universe. And you think, well, I don't want to intrude. Well, then ask if you can be a part of the universe. They tell you no, then don't be. That's it. In the sense of how you doing? You doing well? Anything I pray for you in? Anything I can support or agree with you in? I mean, T knows that I'm working out and trying to eat a little better. She can see in the studio that I'm not drinking coffee like I used to be drinking coffee all the time. She knows what's going on in that universe. I know she's been going to the gym more and more, and she's just like, that's great, though. And that's how you support one another. You know what's going on. But if you're so caught up that the only person you can ever think of is yourself, that's you're missing the boat by a mile. That's part of this process of loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors, love yourself. And by the way, the other people's universes do not only include your kids. Okay. It's not only siblings and parents, and it's expanding that whole genre to make it bigger. So Paul goes, it's right for me to feel this way about you. I have you in my heart. Listen to how emotional he is. Paul, you remember I told you he's much more intimate, much more emotional with the church at Philippi. He's much more caring about them. There's much more of a communion relationship, much less of a troubled church, much more of a people that he just really appreciates. And he goes, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. Like, oh, you big softy. So you don't think of them that way. It's like, oh, sure. People are like, Paul was just legalistic. Apparently, those people have never read Philippians, ever. And then he says, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Look at Paul wrote this whole thing from prison. And he's in prison. Now listen, he's in prison inappropriately, by the way, Noah's show, across the country. Okay, is that across the country on Breaker? Wow, that's pretty good. He's in prison, and he's not focused on his prison experience. He wants to make sure everybody else is doing good. The epitome of selflessness is being wrongly imprisoned and not caring about you but caring about others. That's what he's doing. He's like, I feel this way for you guys. I want you guys to be all right. Don't care if I'm in chains or whether I'm defending or confirming the gospel. And for those that need to understand what confirming the gospel is, he was showing signs. He was doing powerful, miraculous work. And again, this is after 1 Corinthians 13. So that whole 1 Corinthians 13, 10 idea of that being the perfect being, the scripture, is just nutsy cuckoo. It doesn't work at all. But the idea here is Paul's all committed, all in, even to the church at Thessalonica. He said, man, we really live if you guys are doing okay. He says in 1 Thessalonians 3:8, for now we really live since you're standing firm in the Lord. That's what he wants. He wants them to be doing okay. Guys in prison, falsely accused, cares about how other people are doing. That's a selfless attitude. That's a selfless disposition. He has feelings for them. If you're a person like me who has a difficult time expressing my feelings depending on the depth, it literally took the death of my father for me to cry. I had not cried in years. It must have been 6 years. It wasn't until he died that I was able to cry. Yes, that's so sad, so tight, so wound tight. I mean, even Jesus, we wept for Lazarus, and look at Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 20 minutes, and Jesus is still crying but he wasn't crying for Lazarus, he was crying for all the pain around him, even though he knew the pain was coming to an end, because he was going to raise Lazarus up. Even Mary and Martha were hurting, and that hurt him. He had feelings, that's why he wept. Sometimes we get a little robotic, and sometimes even in the framework of faith, that's just too much. This is one of the reasons why I don't respond to people that do a lot of postings on like social media. They're not they're looking for nobody's trying to convince anybody. Everybody's trying to make their statement and go, and try and prove how smart they are. You want to be really smart? Don't do that. That would be really smart. That would be higher intellect, okay? But my whole point in that is for you and I to not be so oriented in our walk that there's no emotion connected to it. That doesn't exist. God's the one that created emotions. He created your heart. He's the one that wants it to bleed if somebody pricks at it and touches it. You don't want to have a calloused heart. It's the worst thing ever. Because you will not be walking with the heart of God if you do that. You get what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. I'm not trying to chastise anybody. I'm just telling you, we cannot have that mindset. You cannot have that spirit. You cannot have that attitude. A callous heart is something that God frowns upon, does not like it. Likes a heart that he's able to plant seeds in, soft soil that he can move upon it. Okay? All right. When blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, he threw something away. What was it? It was his cloak that said he was blind. He tossed it because he knew the time was coming. He'd no longer be blind. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Hot topics.
So listen to this. So Jesus, in one passage, says, judge not or you'll be judged. In another passage, he says, judge ye righteous judgment. That's the King James Version. I like the ye. Judge ye righteous. So there's two different judgments going on here. One's okay, one's not okay. Okay? How does that work? Again, one is a condemnation, the other an observation, an evaluation, and a determination.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm going to have to give you guys the trivia question right away because I'm concerned that they're way too deep. That always concerns me. If you know this answer, you are welcome to text it in. If you don't know, it's okay. Listen for the answer. What was the name of Solomon's mother? That's the question. 972-445-0770. That is the call-in number. 214-210-8483. What was the name of Solomon's mother? That is the trivia question. Let me give a shout-out again more properly to my good friend Noah. So he has a show called Across the County, and it's on Breaker, the Breaker website, through Salem, I think it is. Anyway, you just type in Noah Dingley or Across the County and stuff like that, or send me a text, and I'll connect you to the show. All right, Noah, I hope I did better that time. It's been a long time since I pulled some of those live things off, right? All right. Yeah, okay. Let's see. So if you know that answer, well, Solomon's mother, what was her name? That is the question, okay? And then we're going to give you a chance to check that out if you know what it is. Let's finish up. Oh, we got to read the rest of this stuff. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we're still working on that. We're going to put it, okay. I'm just going to let you figure it out. That's all you. All right. Tomorrow we have Snappy Answers to Stupid Questions. We're doing a small little segment, but going way back for those of you that remember that. The reason that we're going to do that tomorrow is because I came across one that I still use today. I thought, I've been using this for 45 years, and then I thought I have to share it. So I will do that tomorrow. Let's finish up with Philippians. Love this. And why this is important is for you and I to understand, to know the letter better. And you're thinking, well, you know, could you get into the Greek deeper? And I could, but I'm not going to. On this letter, what I want you to do is get this encounter for practical application.
And the practical application of this text is for you to remember, one, God is not going to stop working on you no matter what until you are called home, either corporately or individually. Number two, not only does this go on to the day of Jesus Christ, but the commitment of the Lord is so deep for you and in you that it's more sure than the foundation of the earth. And you can have a confidence, a persuasion that God is not done. And along with that, you do not have permission. Do not have permission to sit on the sidelines. Let me just ask you this. Can you pray for people? Then you're not on the sidelines if you can pray for people. It's just that simple. And number three, then he talks about this, the way that he feels about these guys. He loves these guys. He's just passionate about these people. It's right for me to feel this way about you all. He's got them in his heart. He loves them. It doesn't matter whether he's in prison or not. Doesn't matter whether his circumstances going bad or not. He still has the wherewithal and the Christ-like attitude that says, I care about other people, not just about myself. And then verse 8, he says something that you're going to think, wow, it's almost like a 180 from what we just heard. And he says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So we know by Scripture that Jesus has a passionate part of him, a affectionate part of him, an emotional part of it. But I don't want to focus on that. I do want to focus on this other part. And it's very important and very hard to hear. God can testify how I long for all of you. And what I want to focus on is that God can testify. In other words, God knows what's really going on. So here's the big thing for Christians. They want to be careful whenever they're sharing, whenever they're talking, especially in any kind of public forum, because they don't want to say the wrong thing. And they're always concerned about how people are going to respond. And that is living in the fear of people and looking for the praise of people. And that's not the way to do it. If you want to have a free life, free from the ridiculous burdens of the world, you live for the author and not the audience. You don't live so that in caring about other people, you can show those other people what a great Christian you are. You care about other people so that your communion with the Father makes more sense in the fact that you're connected and you have an open heart and want to have his heart and how he wants to help people. It's not about you presenting you and coming off and whatever the case is. It's about you and God and that connection between the two of you and doing the things that you're supposed to do because God wants you to do it and you love God and you want to please God and you want to be so connected with him. You want to be open to everything and anything he's doing. Why this is important is because too many people, and especially in politics and especially in the media and especially on television, do everything they do so that somebody can get a clip of it, somebody can get a video shot of it, somebody can get an audio clip of it and promote it everywhere so they can show everybody just how absolutely fantastic they are so everybody will give them praise. Oh, they're so good. And that is exactly the opposite of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't do anything like that where you're trying to get a public response. You do it for the King who sees it in secret, and you do it in secret, so to speak. You don't do it so that you can get the accolades. You do it for your communion's sake, for your time with God in which you can say, I want to reflect you and be like you, and I want to have the heart that you have. Right now, I've got this human heart full of darkness, full of evil, full of harshness, full of selfishness. I need you to expand me a little because I don't know if I can do this without you. And you don't do it so other people can go, oh, wow, how great they are. Nothing more ridiculous in all the universe than the billionaires getting together telling everybody how many millions of dollars they're going to give people because they're so generous. Are you serious? Oh, but Dave, people need their money. But yeah, but they don't need to make a public announcement about what they're going to give. That's exactly what Jesus said not to do. It's like the exact opposite. Oh, but they're such great people because they're doing it. Not to God. They didn't get those billions without God's help. It's like you're thinking you did this independently. It's like, no. Tell you what, Honor the right way. Honor the Lord the right way. Don't seek human praise. Seek the praise that comes from God alone. Because if you live for the praise of people, and if you're concerned about the judgment of people, and you're worried about what everybody else is going to think, you're already in bondage. And you know what? You'll never get out. Here's why. Because you can't please all the people. It's not doable. You can't stand before God and say, well, I tried to impress this group, this group, this group, this group, this group, this group. This group. The Lord's going to go, you know, the only one that's not in that group is me. And so Paul says, God can testify. He knew because of what he had with God. He didn't care. Do you know that reputation? You would just be like, that dude's in prison. He's a loser. That's what everybody would have been. Nah, I'm not paying it. Paul, apostle, sure he is. He's in prison. You got to be kidding, right? And he's like, yeah, between God and I, we know. And that's what counts. And my whole point, why you're getting kind of animated, you're getting kind of, because this point is one of the biggest snares of the church. What the church does is folds. Oh, I had this argument you just wouldn't believe during my master's program. It folds to be acquiescing to the world so that the world will like it. The world is going to perish if it doesn't repent. Why are you trying to impress them? They're going to go to hell if they reject Jesus Christ. Why are you trying to impress them? What do they got? What are they giving you? They're not even helping you financially. So you got to be kidding. So what I'm trying to say is understand that this is something you need to be able to say. My God can testify where I'm at. And that's the only person that needs to be able to testify on your behalf. No other human testimony matters the same way. They all loved Jesus when he was doing miracles in year one, in year one and a half. In year two and a half and three, they all hated Jesus because he was pointing out sin, confronting people. When he was everybody's pal, everybody was super happy. When he started to get deep and inside people, people were like, okay, that's enough of this. Who do you think you are? I'm the Messiah. That was his answer. See, I just want you to catch that. I can do my best to be a blessing to you, but ultimately, when this is said and done, I stand before God and say, did I do what you wanted? Was I there in that? I'm not worried about my salvation. That's not the issue. I just want to make sure I please him because he's been so much of a blessing for me. Got it? All right, the answer, Solomon's mom, Bathsheba was Solomon's mom. Even though that whole disaster took place, look what God brought out of that situation. All right, folks, we're done. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.